finished this book, Psalm 119 by Charles Bridges. It took me about 6 months to go through it for my devotions. And I'll be speaking this morning from Psalm 119, 145 and following. Since that psalm was obviously new to you, I was thinking before coming up that, you know, I've had the tremendous privilege of spending probably the last 6 months in Psalm 119. And this passage that we are looking at this morning is particularly strong and something that I feel very, very strong about and want to encourage you as well in. And we will see as we go through what the Lord has to say to us. I'm sorry I volunteered to do this when Pastor asked so that he could have some time off, and I ended up getting a cold on, I think, Tuesday, and wasn't sure I was going to make it, but we'll do our best here this morning. And I'd like to think about, it's a real privilege to be able to speak to you this morning on the very first Sunday in the year of our Lord, 2022. That doesn't often happen, I don't think. And it's a real privilege to be able to speak to you in this first new year, because in a sense, hopefully, you've been thinking about the new year coming, and maybe the Lord has been prompting you by His Spirit about what this new year will mean for you. For some of you, it may be, whew, we got through 21. That was a basket of trouble. And we're looking forward to, with encouragement, to 2022. And that's what I would like to say to you this morning. It's a chance for a new beginning. The Apostle Paul, I don't think he was necessarily thinking about the new year when he wrote this, but in Philippians 3:12 through 14 says, "Not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own." And maybe you want to take this as an encouragement for the new year. "But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." I want to encourage you with that verse this morning to press on for the upward call in Christ Jesus. And this passage that we're going to look at in Psalm 119 does that. Some of you who are older like me, remember what I'm going to say to you. How many of you were ever at a watch night service? Let's see your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. How many of you don't know what that is? Yeah, the majority of you. A watch night service was on New Year's Eve, where the church would gather. Usually there'd be games and leftover Christmas treats, and then about midnight, the church would gather in the sanctuary and pray in the new year. That's a watch night service. And I don't remember when I was at the last. Pastor, do you remember when you were at the last watch night service? So, facing a new year of uncertainty as Christians, as we begin the year of our Lord 2022, and remember, it is the year of our Lord. I was watching last night on YouTube, Dubai celebrate the new year. They're Muslim there, you know. But they're celebrating the new year of our Lord 2022. Interesting. So I'd like to press you all this morning, if you're not thinking about it, or if you are, to a new beginning. To begin the new year with a commitment to the importance of prayer and daily Bible reading. Now, this to me, prayer and daily Bible reading, is absolutely essential to a successful Christian life. absolutely essential. Now, I might say to you that there are many keys to a successful Christian life. Attending worship in a church regularly is key to a successful Christian life. Or partaking of the sacraments is a key to a successful Christian life. A personal relationship with Christ is absolutely key to a successful Christian life. But I believe the key for Christian living is not only hearing the Word of God preached, attending to the sacraments, but it is a personal living relationship with Christ in which you are daily saturated with His Word and devoted to prayer. What is the great object of prayer? Here's what Augustine said. The great object in prayer should constantly be, what would you think was his answer? What is the great object of prayer? To get your prayers answered? What is the great object of prayer? Augustine said the great object in prayer should constantly be the enjoyment of God. I want to thank Pastor Bruce. He's led us in prayer several times this morning already. Obviously, he communicates a relationship with the Father, a relationship of love. Do you sense that as our pastor prays? The great object of prayer should be constantly the enjoyment of God. And Augustine went on and said, and however inadequate the believer's conceptions may be, yet he has a distinct idea of his object, so distinct that you can never impose upon a real saint by offering him something else in the room of it. He knows what he wants, and he knows that this or that is not the thing that he wants. The great object of prayer. Bridges, in this book, said this, thinking about the parable of the sower and the seed. So prayer is a seed, not cast into the earth, exposed to the hazard and loss of the rocks or the weeds, as the parable tells us. But it is a seed cast into the bosom of God. And here, as in the natural harvest, he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Listen to what he said. The most frequent comers to God in prayer are the largest receivers. How's your prayer life? The most frequent comers are the largest receivers. Always wanting, always asking, living upon what they have, but still hungering for more. Your soul would not be so empty of comfort if your mouth were not so empty of prayer, Bridges said. Your soul would not be so empty of comfort if your mouth were not so empty of prayer. The message that I'm bringing to you this morning is really going to barely scratch the surface of very basic elements that are vast, and it's an important, important study. My intention this morning is to prompt you to seek the Spirit to enhance your personal Bible reading and prayer life in the new year with a desire for more personal time of intimacy with your Heavenly Father. And I want to tell you this morning, this is not easy. It really is not easy. But it's got to be your focus as you come to the Lord in prayer from reading in His Word and focusing on Him in prayer that, Lord, I want intimacy with You. I want fellowship with You. And then I'll pour out my heart about all the things that I need. But it should begin with a heart that wants intimacy with the Father. In other words, not just prayer because we're commanded to pray, but prayer that is more than, listen carefully, prayer that is more than richness of expression and fluency of utterance. You know, there are people who can pray the roof down. We've met a few of them in our life. People who, when they pray, they are full of rich expression and utterance. But that's just the shadow of prayer, my friends. The life of prayer is the heart cry to God. Think about that. The life of prayer, real life, real elegance, eloquence, is the cry of the heart to God. Look at Psalm 119, 145. What does he say? With my whole heart I cry, answer me, O Lord. That's the heart behind the prayer. It's not just words in our hymnal. It's not just words in our Bible. Think about the psalmist. He says, with my whole heart I cry, answer me, O Lord. Many of you who are older have been on your knees in your room, in your closet, echoing that. That is true prayer. The eloquence of prayer is in its earnestness. Not in the words that flow from our lips, but in our earnestness. So let's hear this psalmist, verse 146. I call to You, save me. I call to You, save me. Why? That I may observe Your testimonies. Because I fail whenever I get into Your Word, I see my failures. I call to You to save me. 147. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in Your words. This psalmist was so driven in prayer that he could not sleep. He had to get up in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I seek You. Before dawn and cry for help. You see why the earnestness of prayer is in that cry of the heart to God. That's what we see here. And he said it again, 147, I rise before dawn and cry for help. He's in desperate situation and he needs help. And so he can't sleep. He's up before dawn. 148, my eyes are awake before the watches of the night. I'm up at night praying, crying, seeking You. 149, hear my voice according to Your steadfast love, O Lord. According to Your justice, give me life. If some of you struggle to pray, I don't know what to pray for. And you know, if you're like me, guess what? I get distracted. And I start thinking about, well, you know, I got to get this done. And I should do that. And I should organize that. I'm an organizer. Ask my daughters. And I get distracted. If you're like me, pray the Psalms. That's what they are. Or pray many of the prayers that are within the Scriptures. And you will find richness. And the Lord loves to hear His Word repeated back to Him. And how rich Psalm 119 is. This psalmist that we're looking at here had a heart relationship with the Father. It's what got him up in the morning. It's what kept him up at night. It's what made him cry, was his heart relationship with the Father. The heart of prayer is in understanding and experiencing the heart of God towards believers. The heart of prayer is in understanding and experiencing the heart of God towards believers. I'm very thankful to one of our elders, Chris, for passing this book to me. It's in the library. I'll put it back in there today. Gentle and Lowly by Dane Ortlund. Tremendous book on the heart of God and the Savior towards us as believers. Unbelievable. Great words. And he does a tremendous job of translating for us some of the Puritans like Bunyan and Owen and several others. Anyway, I would encourage you to get this book so that you can read and understand the heart of God towards you as believers. I want to pause just for a moment, though. Prayer will never be what it should be unless it's to your Father. We prayed this morning, Our Father. Now, do you pray the Lord's Prayer or do you say the Lord's Prayer? It needs to be prayed. And it begins with Our Father. If you do not know the Lord as your Father, prayer will mean nothing to you. It will not be important. It's when you understand who the Father is and his communication to us that you begin to understand his heart towards you and your need of prayer. And so I encourage you this morning. I have the privilege of having my three daughters here today. And let's see, how many? 12? 10 of our 12 grandchildren. Okay. Now, my daughters know my heart because I'm their father. Okay. Now, they don't know totally, but they're pretty good. And they'll say, oh, Dad, right? Okay, so if you do not know the Father, the Heavenly Father, how can you communicate with Him and know His heart for you? There's got to be a time when you come into that intimate, close relationship with the Father and you cry like the psalmist did here, Lord, save me. So that you can have that kind of relationship. That's critical to all that I'm trying to say to you this morning. Prayer is hard work. It is. I struggle with it. But remember, it's the cry of the heart. It's the earnestness. Now, I don't have time to bring you the 13 points I have on my paper. I'll give it to my family later. But let me just give you quickly some of the things that we can see here in Psalm 119:145. First of all, prayer and the importance of the Word of God are welded together. That you see throughout this psalm. Prayer and the Word of God. In prayer, you talk to your Heavenly Father. In the Word, your Heavenly Father talks to you. Don't separate them. The psalmist didn't separate them, and neither should we. One vital purpose of prayer is the observing the testimonies of God. Hope, as we see in 147b, is received by the early riser who calls for help. That's where the hope lies. If you're feeling desperate and without hope, you have no confidence. 147b, I hope in your words. Spend time in the Word and in prayer. Prayer, as I've been saying, to be effective has to come from the whole heart. In other words, not a divided heart, Psalm 145, verse 145. Not a divided heart. With my whole heart, I cry. Now, if you're going to have a divided heart, that means you're hiding something from God. Good luck with that. It's not going to work. He knows. So why are you trying to hide it? Cry to Him with your whole heart. Pour it out before Him. Tell Him who you are in the depth of your being, and He will hear you and He will answer you. Don't hide from Him. Don't have a divided heart. Effective prayer needs, what it says in 146, a Savior. I call to you to save me. Save me from myself. Save me from my own foolishness. And your cry should be as the psalm in 149. Hear my voice according to your steadfast love, O Lord. According to your justice, give me life. There is much that I would like to say to you this morning, but I want to give you a couple things. As we enter the new year, pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for your family. Pray for your coworkers. Pray for our church. Pray for the church. Pray for our country. Pray as you enter into the new year. Ask God to give you a heart of persevering, heartfelt prayer this year. Let me just quickly give you the heart of God for you. We read some of it earlier. John 16:27, the Father Himself loves you. Why wouldn't you go to Him? The Father Himself loves you, John 16:27. John 17:27, Jesus said that you sent me and loved them. Ephesians 2:4-5, that was in our scripture reading. The great love which God the Father loved us. 1 John 3:1a, what kind of love the Father has given us. 1 John 4:7-10, at the very end, He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God so loved us. Why would you not go to such a loving God regularly, devotedly, pouring out your heart? The Son loves you too. John 15:9, 12, and 13. Jesus said, I have loved you. He loved them to the end. 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, that He laid down His life for us. He loves you. He is our mediator, the pastor read from Hebrews chapter 4. Just look quickly there to Hebrews chapter 4. At the end of the chapter, let me just read it again to you. Since then we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, who loves His children. I added that. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Get that? Your Savior sympathizes with you in your difficulties, with your broken heart, with your hard heart. He sympathizes with you. He is one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now notice, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. He's telling us about the love of the Savior for you. And then what does He say? Draw near to the throne of grace. The love of God and the love of Christ prompt us to draw near in prayer to that throne of grace. And why? Notice the very last phrase of that verse, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us. When? When's he going to help us? The scripture says it's in time of need. Are you needy this morning? I am. I'm needy. Can you go to God as the psalmist and cry out to him? The earnestness of your heart doesn't have to be eloquent. The heart of the Savior in heaven is full of grace and mercy. And as our mediator, he intercedes for us before our loving Heavenly Father's throne. Just some practical things to help you now. There is so much here. You need to pursue that for yourself. But several things, let's see, there's five. I'll quickly go through them. Number one, our first prayer should be to be filled with the Spirit. John 1:20. Praying in the Holy Spirit. I believe that's 1 John 1:20. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Secondly, I would encourage you to use the prayer that is given to us in the Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 11:5. Go there and look it up. If you don't have a Westminster Confession, ask Pastor. He'll get it to you. It's a vital document of our church. Prayer that follows the Westminster Confession of Faith, in which we are told to pray in humility, ask God to humble us, to confess our sins, to beg Him to forgive our sins, and to renew our faith and our repentance. So, pray to be filled with the Spirit. Pray what the Westminster Confession 11:5 says. And then as we enter into Holy Spirit-filled fellowship with the Godhead, I'd like to point you to the Westminster Confession of Faith, the larger catechism, questions 178 to 196. If prayer seems to be something that's just kind of ethereal and it's out there and you're not really sure what to do about it, read what the larger catechism has to say in questions 178 to 196. I think it's the largest section in the larger catechism. And it's all about prayer. 178 through 196. I'd encourage you, when you come to the Lord in prayer, to use the very simple prayer formula of Acts, like Acts of the Apostles. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Remember that. It's very, very simple. And if you're having struggle, when you pray, Lord, I don't know how to pray, adore Him first. And then confess to Him, as the Westminster encouraged us to. Thank Him, and then ask in for things, supplications. And as I said earlier, use biblical prayers to fill your mouth when you're struggling to pray. Remember that without Him, you can do nothing. I can't preach. Pastor can't preach and be our pastor without Him. And you can't be the kind of person in prayer that you would like to be without Him. The psalmist said this, listen, 109:4, the psalmist said, I am prayer. Wow. That's how he described himself. Psalm 109:4, I am prayer. May we begin 2022 with that. Lord, I want to be prayer. The life of prayer is the cry of the heart to God, and the eloquence of prayer is in its earnestness. I'm going to use Bridget's prayer as I close. Shall we pray? Lord, you know how our hearts draw back from the spiritual work of prayer, and how we nourish our unbelief by our distance from you. Oh, pour upon us thy Spirit of grace and supplication. Teach us to pray, even our hearts, our whole hearts, to cry unto you. Give us the privilege of real communion with you, the only satisfying joy of earth or heaven. Then we shall run the way of your commandments, when you shall enlarge our hearts. In Christ's name we pray.